but it would give them a way to collect. And by the way, if you don't do that and you make a collection, you're violating the law. The law has to authorize you to do that. You know, when you go into a town for an approval of some kind, they say, we want you to build our new park. Not so good. You know, you get your, not only do you get in trouble, but they get in trouble, and it's not the way it should be done. But if there's a statutory authorization for it, you're not in trouble. So those are the three bills from the last session. Governor vetoed or conditionally vetoed. We're reintroducing. And then we have a new bill. And the new bill, you know how you see the signs when you go along the highways and byways of Monmouth County? This road has been adopted by Boy Scouts of America. Well, if you want to adopt the storm sewer basin, we're going to give you the ability to do that. And every time you drive by, you can say, that's my storm sewer basin. But we'll also try and give you an incentive, and that is that if you do adopt this, and this is, you can't adopt your own storm sewer basin. You're responsible to take care of your own. But if you adopt one that's off your site, we're going to put a $1,000 tax credit in here. If you spend more than $1,000, you only get $1,000. If you spend less than $1,000, you only get what you put into it. But we're going to try and give you an incentive to adopt the basin. And I would tell you, in Ocean County, where people take the Barnegat Bay pretty seriously, I think we'll actually have some private companies that might be willing to step up to the plate and adopt the basin. So, can't emphasize it enough. Clean environment, good for the economy. And if I can, I'll abuse you for 3 minutes, because that's my Barnegat Bay speech. But I'd like to tell you about another environmental problem, just so you're aware of it. And it affects Monmouth County more so than Ocean. And by the way, the reason for that is Ocean County is almost all the Barnegat Bay, if you take a look at the land area. But we have a problem in New Jersey that's not being addressed, and that problem is our forests. We have 1 million acres of publicly owned forests. And you know what's happening with those forests? Not a damn thing. They are just allowed to be a forest. And you know what? It's not too bad to be a forest. I'm for green. I'm for photosynthesis. But for forests to be healthy, every once in a while, you got to cut down a tree. And you got to clean out some of the fallen trees. And every once in a while, you got to take out a mature tree so the younger trees can grow. And the reason you do that, and I don't say in any way that ravages the environment, not clear cutting, not anything crazy, but just good forest management, is because if you don't do that, you end up with a greater probability of forest fires. You're putting life and property at risk, and we do that in New Jersey. And the other thing you do is decrease habitat diversity. Every once in a while, you'll see a headline or a little story in your local paper. A year ago in the Atlantic City Press, I was actually down touring a South Jersey forest. And the Atlantic City Press of that day, big headline in the local section, the grouse, G-R-O-U-S-E, is now extinct in New Jersey. It's no longer here. And the reason it's no longer here is that there isn't an environment for it, because our forests are allowed to just age, let the older trees fall over. You never have a little meadow here or there. You never have a little thinning so the younger trees can grow. So our forest in New Jersey, that 800,000 to a million acres, is not healthy. And we're going to put forward a bill that says that the DEP can, by rule and regulation, set up a program, lots of public input, so that we can have a forest management program where the forest will be managed pursuant to a forest stewardship plan, meaning that it's environmentally sensitive, that revenues can be raised, the revenues after they pay for the DEP program, because there's nobody left at the DEP. Anybody call lately? They don't have anybody to even answer the phone. I mean, it really is terrible. So the revenues would pay for the program, and any excess would go into the public lands trust so you could acquire some additional forest. You would think I was promoting prostitution in a residential neighborhood. Some of the environmental groups got it, like the Audubon Society, New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, the state foresters, a whole bunch of scientists from around the state and various universities. But to the other environmental groups, it's like I said, prostitution in a residential neighborhood. So anyway, expect that to be a little bit of a controversy. You might see stuff in the papers. And I'd ask everybody to keep an open mind on it. every once in a while, it's not a bad idea to cut down a tree if you want a healthy forest. So anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. If anybody has a question, I'm happy to answer it. Other than that, thank you for allowing me to sing for my lunch. Somebody has a question. The gentleman over there. Well, what generally happens? They're not maintained. So the simplest level of failure is that they've been allowed to clog up garbage, debris, you name it, sediment, and they're not working. Right? They just don't work. But you can get problems that are above and beyond all that, where you've actually had some of the infrastructure, because 20 years later, crack or malfunction. But there's more than 2,000, and they're a big source of that nitrogen and litter pollution for the bay.
By adopting, you're basically cleaning.
Yeah, hopefully the adopt the basin thing works big time, and you can then publicly. And by the way, you get a certificate of recognition for the front hallway of the company. If you want, we can have a local press release. We can have a little ceremony where the mayor and maybe even the Ocean County freeholders come and say this is a great thing, and you get a little positive press, but it would be nice to adopt the basin and help start cleaning up the problem on the bay. Gentleman in the back.
Hi, Senator. Dave McKeon, the planning director for Ocean County.
Hey! and Dave, tell the people, have we talked before?
We have talked. And what I wanted to say, just a quick follow-up to Steve's question here, the problem with the basin is the
Sure.
There's been a lot of positive things that have happened, particularly with the attention paid on Waikiki Bay. DEP Commissioner Martin was down in Weirdtown last month to present, what's the update on what the state has been doing. And Willie DeCamp, you may know him, he's a local environmental activist from State Park.
I know him well. And I appreciate the kind comment. I think Willie's comment, by the way, is also accurate. One of the things that's happening because we are forcing public attention on this, I do think it's gotten the governor's attention. I think it's gotten the DEP's attention. And the Ocean County freeholders, I think, in their hearts want to do the right thing for the bay as well. But the important thing is to keep the fire lit. Turn the gas jets up. Because this bay, you don't get it back. This bay is in trouble, and if we don't start investing in it, we're going to be in trouble. Yes, sir. The biggest single negative contribution from residential communities is the fertilizer. That's nitrogen is the. Yeah. In the case of the homeowner, I think you're almost beyond the fertilizer, which is the biggest single issue with them. I think it becomes an educational issue. One of the things that I love about my summer house in Lavalette, there ain't no grass. I have stone. Everything, there's no impervious surface. Yeah, I think the Clean Ocean Action, they have a program called Bay Buddy. You can become a Bay Buddy if you do a certain number of the 10 things that they list that are important. And one of them is to switch to, and by the way, I could never understand why anybody in Ocean County would ever want to mow a lawn. I mean, you now have the cultural excuse to have stone instead of a lawn. But actually, in the place where I live, which is an island on in Lavalette, there are a couple dozen homes where people have grass, and they're mowing it all year, and they're fertilizing it all year. I just love my stone. I do nothing. You know, it's bad enough I have to deal with my lawn in Piscataway. You know, but I think for the homeowner, it'd be education plus the fertilizer bill. That's where I think that is. There was a gentleman over here. Yes, sir.
Well, just are there alternative,
nice and loud, so everybody can hear you.
Are there alternative fertilizers out there that folks can use that aren't
yes.
bad for the environment?
Yes, and the ones that are required to be in place, I think by the end of this year will be much friendlier to the environment. That, it's not like you're going to have a choice to go for the higher nitrogen content fertilizer. This sets the bar for all fertilizers in the state. All right. And
are you happy with that? Is that good enough?
When we were doing the bill, we had Scotts, which is the largest fertilizer manufacturer in the world, fighting us tooth and nail, to the death, rip our hearts out of our bodies. The bill passed, and now this is the bill they're promoting in the rest of the United States. So, you know, I see that as a victory. I think it's a pretty good bill. Not that it can't be tweaked better, but it's pretty good. Last call for questions. I'm going down the shore for the weekend. Yeah.
Can I ask a question about solar?
You can ask a question about solar, but at the point where I'm abusing your time, you know, just push me away from the...
Take one more
question.
Like when you're an assemblymanship of women
right.
leaders in the industry, and we seem to have made a lot of progress on the master plan, can we continue to move this ball forward?
We have a problem, Houston. And this it's a very recent problem. In New Jersey, we've been too successful. Over the last 8 years, we've gone from 6 solar installations to over 10,000. Now, the reason for that is government stimulus. Not that we, you know, I don't know if I should mention that, but we have SREC, Solar Renewable Energy Credits. We require energy generators to buy them. When they buy them, that money is used to pay solar developers for the solar energy, for the panels and the solar production facilities. This year, SRECs plummeted. They're now down to about $150, $175, $200 a credit. And they've plummeted because of the law, the unwritten law of supply and demand. We're generating so many solar credits that the price has now gone down. So if you're a solar energy developer, you're saying, I cannot get enough revenue to make the solar investment. Or your bank is saying to you, I can't collateralize your solar facility because the market is so volatile. So at the end of last year, Assemblyman Chivakula, who heads the Assembly Telecommunications, Utilities, whatever committee, and I chairing the Energy Committee, tried our best to provide a little bit of a floor for those SRECs so that the market would continue to be viable. And what we did was just to accelerate the renewable portfolio standard, change the SACP, all of which, if you're not in the solar business, means nothing to you. But we tried to adjust the numbers so that there would be some rate relief for ratepayers, and at the same time, there would still be a stimulus to buy SRECs. Couldn't come to a deal with the front office. So I would love to be here saying, you know, that better days are ahead. I'm not really encouraged after the last 8 months of struggle with that legislation. I mean, there's been tremendous turnover in the administration. Lee Solomon, who was the president of the BPU, gone. Now he was a superior court judge and a prosecutor. He was on the learning curve. Energy is unbelievably complex. I mean, it just is outrageous. So he's on that learning curve for 2 years. He's gone back to the bench. And they now have a new guy coming in, and I'm sure a very nice guy, head of consumer affairs. Doesn't know anything about energy. Okay? I mean, and the front office, you know, they're the best federal prosecutors you ever had in your life. But they don't know anything about energy. So we're having a real hard time communicating, trying to keep that market viable. And also the federal government, You know that at December 31st, the 1603 dramatically changed. That if you had a solar facility in operation in 2011, you were eligible for a 30% cash. Didn't have to be a check, cash rebate for your capital costs of doing a solar facility. Now it's changed. There's no longer you get that. You get some, it's still an incentive, but not as big an incentive. So the solar solar business is hurting. And I just hope that the front office gets some players in there who have a better understanding of it, and also who want to do it. I mean, you got to understand. There's this whole thing at the national level, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, where we withdrew from it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with us? All right. I mean, if you're all Jersey Shore guys, you're going to be if this global warming thing. You know, maybe you don't believe in it, but if you're wrong. You wait till you see those strength of those hurricanes that are going to be coming up the coast. You wait to see what happens to the rise in ocean levels. And you take a look at those pictures of the glaciers in the Arctic and Antarctic melting, and not just calving a little iceberg, calving the equivalent of Rhode Island. There's some serious problems out there, and we're just putting our heads in the sand. That's my religious inspirational. And I'm going down the shore this weekend, because I know where to have a good time.